Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message. Father, we thank you. Lord, our expectation is up. We're putting our confidence in you. It is a brand new day. This day has never happened before. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Father, that there are no groundhog days for us. Hallelujah. We thank you every day is anew, and your mercies are fresh and alive and cover us every morning. We thank you, Father, that today you've gone before us. We thank you, Father, that today you've planned great things for us. We thank you, Father, today you are moving in our lives by your Spirit, causing all things to work out for our good. And you've prepared wonderful things for us today. Holy Spirit, we ask for your help. Quicken us.
Yes.
Strengthen us this morning.
Lord,
help us to hear what you're saying this morning. Help us to receive the revelation of Christ you're bringing to us this morning. Help us to hear with spiritual ears. Help us to embrace the fullness of your plan and purpose, the fullness of this glorious gospel of grace. We refuse to back up. We refuse to be discouraged. We are moving forward by your grace and by your Spirit, Father. We thank you that this is not by the might of man. This is not by the wisdom of man. This is by your Spirit. And we thank you for your will. Abundant life done in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are starting a brand new series today entitled Love's Plan.
I like that.
Love's Plan. If there ever was a day to get in on Love's Plan, it is today. So we want to invite you to grab a hold of everything that the Spirit of God wants to minister to us this morning. Every time we gather, there's a fresh word from heaven for you, but you have to train your ears to hear it. And I don't mean these ears, I just pull on them just for illustration, but I'm talking about your heart. You want to cultivate spiritual ears. You want to cultivate an attitude of hearing from God.
That is good. As we were praying and we were setting up our expectations,
yes,
I thought about a baby. A baby just, or a bird, you've seen it, right? Mm-hmm. They just open their mouth,
yes,
and the nourishment and the food is delivered.
That's right.
And you have placed yourself today,
yes,
like a baby bird or a little baby,
mm-hmm,
who's growing that first year. You know, we just position ourselves in that same way, knowing that as we receive the word of God, it is causing us to be strong and to grow,
yes,
and to cause us to grow up in him and do all that he's purposed for us. So we position ourselves like that with mouths,
hallelujah,
open, ready,
yes,
to receive from God,
yes,
knowing that this is the very,
thank you,
nourishment and food that makes us strong. And that is a good thing. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So we're talking about the plan that God has for you and the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
Love's plan. Let me just share with you the three key points here. God, who is love, we say love's plan. We're talking about God's plan, right? God is love. God has a plan. Love, it has a plan. Love's plan. God, who is love, created man in his image. And that includes you. Mankind, every human being, has been created in the image and likeness of God. Step one. Man was created to enjoy fellowship with God. Not to be estranged from God, not to not know God, but to know God intimately and deeply. Man was created to enjoy fellowship with God and listen, and to co-labor with God in the earth to bring about his will in the earth. These are the key points for our series. God, who is love, created man in his image. You've got to know that you've been created in the image of God. And you got to know that you were created to enjoy a relationship with him. And not only that, but to co-labor. What does that mean? Work together with him, you. If you're a human being, you were created to work together with God. You're important. God wants you on his team, working together with him to bring about his will in the earth. Okay?
We'll see that in the scripture. I'm sure you're going to take us to it.
Yeah, point number three. Point number three. The New Testament church is the Father's plan to spread his salvation into the world today. Mm-hmm. Did you know you have a mission to walk with God, to fellowship with God, and to spread his salvation into the earth today? Wouldn't that be something if you're on a mission and you didn't know it?
Right.
Guess what? The mission wouldn't be accomplished. Did you know that God's will is not automatic? He's looking for us to cooperate.
Yeah, well,
to cooperate with
like
him.
Just like any agent, you have to accept
yes,
the mission.
You do, you right? Or in 10 seconds, this briefcase will self-destruct,
exactly
right? Mission impossible. Love it.
But we do have the option. You're right. We have to accept. Once we know, yes, thank you. Thank you. Once we know that God is looking for us to work together with
yes,
him, then we have to make a decision. We're very important in this
yes,
relationship.
Absolutely.
That absolutely, we have with God. Our part is very, very vital and important.
Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, you're on a mission from God. And what a mission it is. We are mission-minded. We are heaven-minded. We are God inside, Christ inside-minded, Holy Spirit-minded, mm-hmm, the things of God-minded. We're his people, his sons and daughters. So you got the 3 points, okay? Now let's get started. We're going to start. It's going to seem so simple, but I'm telling you, if you don't embrace and grab a hold of what we're about to share, you're going to miss the mission. You're going to miss the whole thing, okay? Here we go. Love's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Love's plan. What is the foundation of love's plan? For you to know him personally. For you to I'm talking about you now. For you to have a vibrant, personal, just like Jesus, relationship with God the Father. If you want to know what your relationship is meant to be like, look at Jesus' relationship with the Father. The book of John is a great place to grow. Chapters 14, 15, 16, 17.
I love those.
That is our relationship with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go right to the book of John. John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. Verse 16. So the foundation. You got to start with a foundation. If you try to build a home without a foundation, what's going to happen to the home? It's going to fall apart. It can't stand. Everything that's been built that lasted had a foundation, including God's plan. And that foundation of God's plan is what Christ did for you, the finished work of Christ, so that he could have and you could have a relationship together. So the foundation of love's plan is a personal relationship with you. It all begins there. How can I spread his salvation to the world if I don't know his voice myself?
This is true.
If I don't know his nature myself, if I don't know his will myself. Jesus knew the nature of his Father. He knew the will of his Father. That's why he could do the things he could do, and you can do the same things Jesus did when you get to know the nature of your Father and the will of your Father through simple faith in Christ.
Okay.
John chapter 3, here it is, the love's plan, spelled out very clearly for us in 2 verses. Now, I know this is a popular verse. I'm going to invite you to take off your religious goggles, take off your I've heard that before headphones, and really embrace the fresh invitation of the Father today. For God so loved the world, talking about people, for God so loved people, mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that's Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. Remember that? Those two words, eternal life. I'm going to read verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world. That is not our mission. That wasn't Christ's mission. It's not our mission. But that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. There's our mission right there, described beautifully for us by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John. I want to go back to the end of verse 16. It says, God sent his Son that anyone who believes, whoever believes, would not perish, but have eternal life. The Father sent his Son into the earth that you might have eternal life. Now you're saying, okay, I know that. Well, let me help you out a little bit here. And if you've been coming to Highway, you've heard this, and you would know this. But what is eternal life? Well, let me just make sure I'm not skipping something here. Yeah. Okay. Religion has robbed people of the true meaning of eternal life. Religious tradition has taught that eternal life means something like this: someday we hope to get to heaven, and that would be eternal life. That is not the definition of eternal life. That is not Christ's definition of eternal life, and therefore it's not our definition of eternal life. It's eternal life is not about getting to heaven someday. And I know that might freak you out a little bit, but let's look at Jesus' definition of eternal life. We're not going to be able to move forward in his mission if we don't understand what eternal life truly is as defined by the giver of eternal life, not religious tradition. Jesus defines it for us in John 17, 3.
I see.
Go with the definition that Jesus gives, not religious tradition. It will blow your mind, but it's a good explosion. Mm-hmm. It's an explosion that brings life, that clears away the debris and the clutter and the blockages and enables you to receive from God when you receive his word. I'm thinking, is it Jeremiah says, my word is like a hammer. Yes. My word is like a fire. It's like a hammer which shatters a rock. When you hear what God has to say, it bursts through barriers.
That's
it
right.
Breaks through those tough places, mm-hmm. and it clears your heart, and it clears the way for you to know him.
That's very good.
Here's what Jesus said. Are you ready? He's about to define eternal life for us. We don't have to come up with our own definition. He's already done it. And this, verse 3, John 17, and this is eternal life. It means to know, K-N-O-W, to perceive, to recognize, to become acquainted with, and understand you.
I love that. Is that the Amplified Translation?
That is the Amplified Translation.
Could you read that again for me, please?
This is eternal life. Here is the one and only definition of eternal life, the foundation of our mission, why God sent his Son, that you might know, K-N-O-W, experientially, personally, that you might perceive, that you might recognize, that you might become acquainted with, that you might understand God the Father.
I love that. I love
to know you.
Love the love, love, love.
Now,
Diane knew that. She said it maybe 5 minutes ago.
Thank you, Diane.
Awesome. She says,
awesome.
To know Jesus,
awesome.
That's eternal life.
Let me help you understand that a little more clearly. That word K-N-O-W was also used in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. And it was used describing Joseph and Mary in their marriage relationship. It says Joseph knew, K-N-E-W, knew not Mary, his wife, until after Jesus was born.
Right.
That is the type of intimacy of God has invited us into, to know him as a husband knows his wife. That is heart to heart. That is spirit to spirit. That is in unity. That is becoming one with. Mm-hmm. If you want to understand the relationship that God desires for you, think of a good, healthy marriage. That's what he wants to have with you.
Mm-hmm. That represents those words in the Amplified. Absolutely. To
absolutely.
Recognize.
Absolutely.
What did you say? Become acquainted with and understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a good, healthy marriage.
That's absolutely.
To
absolutely.
You recognize things about your spouse. You're acquainted with things about your spouse. And you also understand things about your spouse. That's very, very good. That's good.
It's so good. It's so good. The Father sent his Son into the earth so that we could become united with him.
Yeah.
As a husband and wife become united, so that we could personally know him and experience him in our daily life. Listen to me. This is frightening to religious tradition. They cannot process this. The natural reasonings of man can't, but your heart desires it.
Yeah.
The heart, every heart of every human being has this desire inside. They might be afraid to acknowledge it, but it has been planted in us divinely. And God wants to fulfill it today in your life through faith in Christ. Religious tradition to one degree or another has promoted this idea that we're some kind of a robot slave that has been created to try and appease a angry God who can't be understood.
That's right.
That is not the gospel. That is not what Jesus taught. He said, I've come that you might know the Father, that you might perceive, understand, recognize, and walk with him just like I'm walking with him. How are we doing, Highway family?
I always say that, Joseph. I recognized it a number of years ago from teaching literature that much of religion, and even Christian religion
included. Absolutely, Christian traditions.
But much of religion understands God in a very mythological, pagan sort of a way.
Sometimes very superstitious,
but that verse that you said, that we say we know, John 3:16 said, for God so loved, I mean, that's engagement. That's not sitting back and looking to see.
No superstition.
Which
there.
Is like a mythological god or a pagan god.
Right.
Sitting back, separate, looking to see. No, God so loved that he took action. That action was to give us something. And what did he give us? Only the most dear and precious thing to him is the one and only Son. I mean, this, if we would just roll back a minute out of our preconceived or whatever cultural ideas or longstanding ideas of gods that have stood for thousands and thousands of years. If we would roll back from that and not assign those types of characteristics and attributions to God, but recognize how different he is from any other god that people worship, how unique and different he is, that he loved us first, and that he gave us something because of his love, and that something is someone, his own son. Why? That we might have eternal life, that we might know God. He's the one who's initiated and has taken action to give his son, that in turn we might come back to him and know him as well. This knowing one another, this understanding one another, has changed our lives, that we serve a God who wants to know us.
Yep.
And wants us to know him. And like you said, a lot of minds can't comprehend that.
Right.
Because I know me. Why would God want to know me?
Right, right? Sure, sure.
I know me.
You
know?
Can all like, say that.
That's right. We're human. And that Absolutely. Is the mythological pagan idea. We're terrible and God is terrorizing and scary, right?
Right, right, right.
But this is what he's done, that we might be in relationship, and not just relationship, but actually know him, understand him, be acquainted with him, and have an intimate relationship with him. It's unlike anything else that exists. It really is.
So good.
So good, so this good. Plan, this love's plan you're talking about.
So let's put religion aside.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. How do I go from knowing about someone to actually knowing them personally? How do I do that? I can maybe know what others have said about you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring this into real life.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
there's
people
a point.
Say stuff.
There's a point where I didn't know Jennifer before we were married, back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. I didn't know her. I ended up hearing about her.
I
heard what others But how did we move from knowing about each other, mm-hmm. or really maybe not even about each other, what others said about us.
Right.
How do we move from that into actually personally knowing each other? What do we do?
We got in proximity
yeah.
with one another.
Well, we began talking to each other.
Right.
Isn't that simple? This is really simple. This
Across
mission.
The cafeteria table.
Yeah, yeah. We met in the cafeteria, same cafeteria, right? But we actually began to talk with each other.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to know Jennifer personally, I had to hear from her.
This sounds
personally
too simple, and yet we don't get this.
I know it. It's very simple.
Take what other people say and that must be true.
Yeah, and that's what religious tradition does.
We've never even gotten to know.
Yeah, we accept what religious tradition says about God, and we miss him altogether.
It's so simple, but we don't. We need
I
to
want
be
this,
reminded.
This needs to be simple. We're going slow here.
We need to be reminded.
I mean, I'm running on the inside. I'm trying to go take my time.
You're doing great.
So here's, I never met this person before in my life, okay? And I hear about her. Maybe I see her. Now I want to get to know her. What do I do? Well, at some point, I've got to talk to her. Or I'll never get to know her.
Yeah.
And I've got to hear from her.
Yes, that's right.
Directly, that's without right. anyone else's slanted opinion.
That's good.
I really don't need to hear what others think about her. I need to hear directly from her heart with my heart. What are we talking about? Eternal life.
Yeah.
Relationship
knowing.
With God.
Knowing
him personally.
Mm-hmm.
I need to talk to him, and I need to hear from him directly. His heart to my heart, if I'm going to know him. That's why Jesus said it would be better for you when I go. Why? Because when I go, the Comforter is coming. The Holy Spirit is coming, and he's going to live inside of you, and he's going to speak to your heart
Teacher.
Directly what he hears from the Father.
Amen. Amen.
So we want to go from knowing what we think we know about God to actually hearing directly from God, heart to heart, not with these ears, with our heart, spirit to spirit, and talking directly to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I don't know what order these happen, but we have to esteem him. I had to want a relationship with Jennifer,
mm-hmm.
or I would have no motivation for talking to her. Right?
That's so good.
I don't know what order these all happen in. Sometimes it's different. Sometimes you don't esteem someone. You might meet them. You start talking. You start to value them. Not that these have to happen in a certain order, but these three things have to happen. Mm. You have to hear directly from that person. You have to talk directly to that person. And at some point, you've got to esteem that person if you want a relationship with them. Well, we're making this real with you and
me. That's good.
But we're talking about God now. I had to, at some point, if I wanted to go deeper with Jennifer in relationship, mm-hmm. I had to begin to esteem her above others. Mm-hmm. Well, we were heading to marriage eventually. I knew that before she did. Ha, Lord, show me that. But I knew it in my heart. The Lord spoke to my heart about it by His Spirit. Long before it happened, good.
That's so good.
Couple years before it ever happened.
There's so many things here.
I know it. I know it. We don't. So I know, but we're gonna keep moving. We got some more things to do today. We want to get to communion. Okay.
So many things.
We're gonna take our time in this series. All right. So I've got. Now we're talking about God. So I've got. If I really want to get to know Him, I have to esteem Him above everyone and everything else. Now knowing Him becomes the passion of my life. And I want to look at one of my favorite examples that I'm the Word, and then we're going to have communion. Okay? Here it is, one of my favorite examples, Matthew chapter 8. And if you don't understand this about Highway and about what we're... This is the heart of everything I've done since 1985. Is what we're about to see right here. When you want a relationship with someone, you begin talking to them, you purpose to hear from them directly, we're talking about God now, and yes, you esteem yes. Him above everything that anyone else has ever said, now their word becomes the priority of your life. You could line up 100 people. They could be heads of state, ambassadors, presidents, kings, queens, but their word does not hold more weight with me than her word. As far as people on this earth, she's numero uno. Her word holds more weight with me than any other person. Why? Because we're united. We're husband and wife. Remember what Jesus said, this is eternal life. So now the word of Christ holds more weight with me than anyone else, and I seek it, I pursue it, I now build my life upon it, I love talking about it with other people, I look for other people who are excited about it, we look for people who have the same passion. Why? Because there's a mission to be accomplished. So look in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus in the flesh, the one that the Father sent, is ministering. Matthew says He went about. Matthew is with Him. We don't need to have romantic ideas of Jesus. It's been recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and in the epistles, that what He did. He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. That's a part of God's plan. We're going to get to that later, okay? This is what He was doing. That's how He spent His time once He began His ministry. That was what He did, as recorded in the Scriptures. Verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion, that's a Roman soldier, has no covenant with God. He's not in the nation of Israel. He's beseeching Jesus, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. I want you to see the heart relationship this man has with God. Jesus said unto him, Jesus reveals to him His heart. He reveals to him His will. He says, I will come and heal him. I want you to see how this man esteems Christ. And we esteem Him in that same. If you want a deep, powerful, transforming relationship with the one who made you, you must esteem Him and pursue Him with all of your heart. If we were going to become husband and wife, it had to be, we had to be all in.
And I just want to caution everybody here because we do this. And it's good that you're relating it to human relationships because we do the same thing.
Yeah.
How we treat others is how we think of God.
It's true.
That's just crazy to think about. But how you're treating others is how you relate to God. And I want to caution us here, because you can be talking with someone, and you can be hearing their very own words coming out of their mouth, and you still won't receive what they're saying because you remember what so-and-so over here said. Right. And so even though you're talking to the one of whom that you two were talking about, now you're with the person who is the subject of your discussion, and you're hearing from the very person themselves, and you still won't receive what that person is saying because you are esteeming, as you say, what this other person said. And now you can't have an open relationship.
Absolutely.
Because you're not, and I just wanted to say this as the, as an example of esteeming. Esteeming means that you've already said, I'm valuing what someone else has said, even though this person is telling me directly what they think and how they feel and what was meant by that. And so we do this same thing to God, where he has revealed himself in his word and through his son. And because we heard somebody over here say this about God, we can't
receive it.
Because we're esteeming this guy over here. And we really have to be cautious about that and recognize when we are blocking a relationship with God because of what we've heard someone else say. We have to bring that we've heard into this relationship with God himself and have him speak to that.
And if it doesn't agree with what God has said, guess where what we've heard goes? In the trash.
Yeah, so good.
That's a part of knowing him. You're going to have to throw a lot of things away.
You will.
A lot of ideas, lot of tradition, and people are going to criticize you about it. I want to get to this, and I'm really conscious of the clock, but I don't want to. She has so many wonderful things to share that will help us.
That's good.
So we're really trying to
work together
and get this done within the allotted time. So I want you to look what this man says. He said, Lord, this man has no covenant with God, but before he ever met Jesus, he began esteeming him. Jesus, by this point, was known all over the place.
We'll see it here.
He was teaching and preaching and healing everywhere he went. Okay? So this man has already begun to esteem him above anything else this man ever heard or saw. So Jesus just flat out reveals his will. I will. When Jesus says, I will, this is my will for you. This is my will in the earth for that servant to be healed, for you to be healed today. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Now look at this esteeming of Christ. But speak the word only, and my servant, who's way over somewhere, not even here, my servant will be healed if you just say it.
Good.
That's highly illogical. The natural mind would balk at that. Carnal minds don't understand spiritual things. If God says it, it's so. This man who had no covenant with God esteemed God that much. And we are to do the same today. All I need to know in my life is what God has said. If he said it, it's so. We don't have time. Maybe we'll get back to this verse, but Jesus was amazed at this man, at this man's attitude in his heart. Let's see what happens. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, the centurion's talking, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard the faith in this man's heart, he marveled and said to them that follow, truly I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Listen to me, this is the foundation of marriage. What? Let me bring this, we're trying to bring this into real life.
That's good.
December 31st, 1994, last millennium, we stood before God and before man, and we entered into an eternal covenant. How did we become married? Listen closely to me. Take your religious goggles off. Through the expression of our faith. I stood before her, I looked her in the eyes, and I made a confession of my love and my faith.
Yeah.
And she did the same. That was almost 29 years ago. Mm-hmm. In just another
six, 7 weeks.
Yeah. Right? That is what brings two people together. You confess with your heart your love and faith for one another, and then you act on it. It is the same thing that brings us into intimate relationship with God. She esteemed, we call them wedding vows.
Right.
What's a true wedding vow is a confession of the love and the faith in my heart toward you. That was December 31st, 1994, guys. And we have been acting on that ever since.
That's right.
That is what made us one. Mm-hmm. The same thing will bring you in an intimate relationship. So she had to esteem my words above every other guy. She had to believe that I meant it. And I did. Now we're all human. I'm not perfect. She's not perfect. I had to esteem her words above every other girl. I had to believe she meant it, or we couldn't have gotten married. If I thought she was playing me or I was playing her, it wouldn't have been a marriage. It would have been a game. It would have ended in you know, heartbreak and foolishness.
Based on what you value.
Yeah, So we had to choose to value one another, esteem one another. Then we had to express that with our mouths. It happens in the heart, and it's expressed with the mouth. The same thing. This is how God's plan, love's plan, begins in our lives. You begin to esteem him above everyone and everything else. If he says it, it's so. Even if you don't agree with it. Even if it flies in the face of everything you've ever believed, you let go of everything you've ever believed and thought, and you purpose, because now we're talking about God. He has no mistakes. He has no faultiness. He's pure in all his ways. And you fully embrace everything he said. Because he's God, we can do that without reservation. Obviously, with people, we understand there's grace there, and we work together and love one another through that. With God, you can fully trust him. He's not like man. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't lie. He doesn't have a hidden agenda.
That's why we bring God into our
relationships. Absolutely. You can't have a real marriage apart from God. It's his idea. Okay?
Yeah.
So, guys, this is the foundation of love's plan. I want to move into communion right now. I want to give you some time to grab a hold of some juice, some crackers, some bread, and we're going to move over and grab our instruments, and we're going to have communion together, all right? And then we're going to pray together. Grab a hold of the revelation we just shared with you, and let's do that. Let's get ready for communion. God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of his goodness, who he is, what he's done for you, and who you are in him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life he came to give you.